For more than 20 years, the driving principle behind federal procurement is a simple one. To the extent possible, the government should buy regular commercial items under regular commercial terms and conditions. Now, that idea is enshrined in law and regulation. So when it doesn't happen, companies protest. In a dispute between contractor CGI Federal and the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, the U.S. Court of Appeals reaffirmed that commercial principle. And for why this case is so important, we turn to Alan Chivotkin, the Executive VP and counsel at the Professional Services Council. Alan, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so give us a quick summary of what happened here.
Well, the Court of Appeals ruled in reviewed an earlier decision from the Court of Federal Claims and came forward with a very simple principle on exactly what you said. There is one executive branch, there is one federal acquisition regulation, and there is one way for the federal government to follow the principles of buying commercial items, and that's pursuant to the Federal Acquisition Regulation, FAR Part 12. The case raised the question of whether the GSA schedules, which was the vehicle used by the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services in this acquisition, could independently evaluate commercial items pursuant to the GSA regulations rather than follow the FAR. Court of Appeals is very clear, no, one rule, FAR Part 12 applies even to the GSA schedules. And that's why this opinion is so important to the contracting community.
So it sounds like the CMS was trying to put in terms and conditions, I guess, on the payment schedule, the way the contractor would be incentivized, that were not really commercial payment terms. Is that basically what happened?
Yes, sir. That's exactly right. There'd been a long series of these contracts that CMS had been awarded, and they shifted in this last round about some of those payment terms. There were a few other clauses at issue, but the payment terms were the key, and that's what CGI, as a prospective bidder, was challenging. We took no part in whether they were the right bidder or we filed an amicus brief at the Court of Appeals on the principle of one set of rules regarding commercial items.
And so this goes back to the 1994 Federal Acquisition Streamlining Act, right, which was then enacted through FAR Part 12. Is that the mechanism that happened here?
That's right. Congress in 1994 in the Federal Acquisition Streamlining Act said the federal government ought to have a preference for the use of commercial items. And it was from that FAR Part 12, dealing with commercial items, became a predominant element of the acquisition rules. And it was intentional commercial items, FAR Part 12, precede other sections of the FAR dealing with other mechanisms for buying goods and services. Part 13, 14, and 15 are the other three major areas of the FAR that deal with that. And so I joke with folks that it was intentional that 12 came before 13, 14, and 15. And what this court said is 12 comes before FAR Part 8 with the GSA schedules as well.
All right, so it gets pretty technical, but let's talk about the terms and conditions that CMS was going to try to impose. What was the contract for, and what is the usual way people get paid to do this kind of work? I guess it was for a cut of recovery payments for overpayments?
That's right. CMS has, for a long time, used contractors as third-party auditors to review claims that were submitted and reimburse those based on some formula for recovery of payments, overpayments made by the CMS providers. As I said, the earlier rounds of these contracts had a different set of payment terms and conditions. They modified that in this last round to be more government unique and to change the baseline. I'm not as familiar with all the technical provisions of those payment terms, but there was a clear shift, and that clear shift from prior versions to this one was what CGI raised in their concerns.
And CGI had been the incumbent under the old terms, I think, also, correct?
That's correct. CGI was a prior incumbent. but there were other contractors as well. This is not a single award vehicle. There were multiple contractors performing both under the prior work as they allocate work, where they compete work based on regions, as CMS competes to work based on regions.
And I guess CGI, rather, must have felt this was really an important issue because they protested even before the contract award was made, correct?
That's correct. They filed their a pre-award protest at the Government Accountability Office challenging these payment terms and some other provisions as well. GAO ruled in favor of the Center for Medicaid and Medicaid Services, said they had the authority to do so. CGI then took their case to the Court of Federal Claims, and that court also upheld the authority of CMS to use these special payment provisions pursuant to the regulations that GSA used. GSA was this was a contract under the GSA Schedules Program, I should say, not a CMS-awarded standalone. And so the Court of Federal Claims reaffirmed the authority of CMS. To her credit, Judge Mary Ellen Coster-Williams stayed her decision when CGI indicated that they would file an appeal with the Court of Appeals, and it was at that point that the Professional Services Council decided to come in support of the underlying principle of one government, one FAR.
We're speaking with Alan Chavotkin. He's Executive Vice President and Counsel at the Professional Services Council. And it's interesting because in its ruling, the court said the Court of Federal Claims found, and we hereby affirm, that and neither party disputes that the services solicited are commercial items and that the revised payment terms are inconsistent with customary commercial practices. So everybody agreed that this wasn't the case. So it's kind of strange that they would go forward with this. Is it safe to say that a lot of people in the industry were watching what happened here?
I'm not sure how visible this case was. We talked to a lot of our member companies. I talked to other attorneys who were watching it. They recognized the potential. And I think what I'm so pleased about is we were very explicit in our amicus filing about the principle. And more importantly, Judge Moore, on behalf of the panel, was very explicit and declarative that there is only one provision and FAR Part 12 applies.
And you also mentioned this was the first time an appeals court ruled on the application of the explicit commercial items provision for the 1994 FASA. We've gone 21 years without it getting this high in the courts.
Well, I think there's so many of these get resolved, worked through anyway, and so it is somewhat surprising that it's taken this long to get this kind of declarative ruling out of a court of appeals, the most important court we could have on these government contract issues. But it was worth the wait.
All right, and I wanted to also ask you, since this is about the 1994 FASA, we now have FITARA, the Federal Information Technology Acquisition Reform Act. Does anything in FITARA upset that commercial complex of clauses and rules that were established by the FASA and enshrined in FAR Part 12?
I don't think so. We'll still wait for the implementing guidance and regulations to come out under FITARA to be sure. But I'm not expecting any inconsistencies with them. Again, the agencies have a lot of flexibility, but what this case says is if you're going to buy commercial items, you've got to follow the rules in FAR Part 12, whether that's for the recovery, information technology, services, commodities, it doesn't matter. There's one rule in the government, and that's FAR Part 12.
Now, it does say to the maximum extent possible. So can you conceive of any situation where a non-commercial type of clause might be needed?
Absolutely. In fact, FAR Part 12 has that flexibility to allow for tailoring. But there's a burden that shifts to the agencies to explain why something other than the commercial item clauses or practices are to be used. So clearly there's a recognition that agencies' needs in the federal marketplace might differ in some way from what required in the commercial marketplace.
In other words, you need a gosh darn good reason to not go with the commercial way.
That's right.
All right.
And the preference is there. That's what Congress said in the Streamlining Act in 1994. We have a preference for commercial items to the maximum extent practical. Once you decide to acquire commercial items, this court said that's the way to go.
It all started with an ashtray.
Yeah, there's you and I both have a lot of experience in this area.
All right. Alan Chabotkin is the Executive Vice President and Counsel at the Professional Services Council. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure, Tom. Thanks for the opportunity.